Brilliant from Kennedy. Couldn't resist the shot. That's gone in off the defender.
The chairman, you lose your little player. And it's in. It's a goal from Gilmour. Jimmy Gilmour has scored for Falkirk.
Finnegan's cross. Stephen Thompson. Falkirk have the lead after a quarter of an hour.
McKenzie slips. It goes straight to McGuffey. McGuffey shoots from his own half. And that is incredible.
He's taking them all on here. Catch him if you can. You can't. That is amazing. That is phenomenal. A touch of individual inspiration from Kevin McAllister.
This is Falkirk Daft.
I can finally see it. Champions, oi, oi, oi. How good does it feel to sing that song after so long? 5 years in this division, 13 years since we've had the chance to play We Are The Champions. What a day. We're going to get into it. We've got a lot to talk about on this week's edition of Falkirk Daft. I am your host, John McNally, and as ever, joined by the Ginger God of Pod, One Man Band, in the main stand, a lover of the old prawn sandwich. It is Ross Wayne, everyone.
What a day. What a weekend.
Still absolutely cheesing.
Buzzing, mate. Buzzing.
You know, we're great to get into the game and talk about it from start to finish. But, you know, a couple of days after, you can see the picture. You know, all I've seen, I'm here for it, is all the Falkirk content on social media. It's been brilliant the last couple of days, and you just can't get that alley, alley, alley. That's all I've heard in my head, going through my head the last couple of days. It's been brilliant, Ross, and we had a great day out on Saturday.
We did. I know I've said this on social media already, but if it's either one of the best or the best, and it was just perfect from the minute we all got together, and then as we headed on through the day and the evening, really special.
I know it was special, and I know everyone, you'll have your critics. You've seen probably all the old Airdrie and Fermon supporters, you know, it's only League One, but I think it just means so much more just because of what we've been through in the last 5 years. Do you know, it's for a team Falkirk size, you know, I think every pundit that I've heard has said that we should be Championship, if not a Premiership club. So to get back there, and, you know, people say, oh, it was over the top celebrations and all that, but living our boots for the last 5 years, absolutely. Exactly. Do you know what I mean? I think it was more of a kind of eruption of emotion, more than anything, that, you know, because it was just that built up, and we knew it was coming, you know, and obviously I didn't say that on this podcast, but we knew it was coming, and that whole day to, you know, we'll talk about winning in the pub and all that sort of stuff, and we get Elsa, our guest pundit, on this week. But it just felt special, Ross. It felt special, you know, and we were, you know, it was great to, you know, we were with each other, stand beside each other at the game, or stood beside each other in the pub when we won it. It just felt like a really special day.
It really was. And you saw it, groups of mates together, families together.
Just the outpouring emotion. I saw tears on the pitch at the end, sons and dads together. Oh boy, shout out to some of the old boys that were on the pitch invasion as well. You know, I bumped into a couple of Chris Love and David Webster. And I was like, wait, your dads are like, they were standing at the side and they're on the pitch. But it was just great to see. And, you know, as you said in last week's episode, it's brilliant that young supporters are getting to experience this, you know, as you did, you know, back in the day at Clyde Bank, as we did when we went up to the Premiership after years and years of being getting told, no, you're not going up because of the stadium criteria. And, you know, it just felt like a moment. It really did. And hopefully it is a turning corner as well.
I think it is. I think this whole season's been a turning corner. You could even say last year was, by the appointment of John McGlynn, the creation of the FSS a couple of years back, the Ultras this year. It's all just going the right way. And, like, I know there's been loads of headlines in the last couple of days about saying, oh, Falkirk's back. Yeah, do you know what? We're away from where the current reality is, and we're going to bloody enjoy it. But we're not back. We're not back until we're back in the Premier League. And that'll happen sooner rather than later. I genuinely do feel it.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Listen, we've got to talk about the game against Montrose. We've got to talk about actually winning it without kicking a ball as well, which was I called it last week. And looking back on it, Ross, you know, I said, I think I just want it done. I want it done. We can enjoy the party at Montrose. Looking back at it, are you quite happy the way it worked out?
I am now, in hindsight, at pre-game, sorry, not pre-game, but pre-getting up to Montrose, my thought was, no, I want to win it. I want to be in the park when we've won it. But actually, it didn't make any difference to how it was at the game. It was fantastic. We're going to talk about it, I know, but it was brilliant at the stadium. The walk to the stadium, the pitch invasion at the end, it was just perfect, right? But actually, how it all panned out in the pub as well, it was like you had two massive celebrations rather than just the one.
Yeah, there was a bit of a double dance. It was great. It was great. Listen, we'll talk about that in a minute. But of course, I've got to say thanks very much to the boys at Falkirk Football Fans in Training and the Lava Cup, which has been held at Falkirk Stadium on Saturday, the 25th of May. The opening ceremony, as I've told you before, is happening at 11:30. Get yourself around there. Support the boys. They're playing teams from across the continent. I think they've got there's an Icelandic team coming over for it as well. But all the money's going to go to Strathcann Hospice and FDAMH as well, which is a mental health charity. If anyone wants to get involved with the Falkirk Football Fans and Training, as I've said, it's a great community of guys. Get signed up with Ian and the team, Doogie, Mark. You'll get all the links in the bio below. And you can get involved in the Lava Cup tournament, which is for over 40s. It's bringing players from right across Europe, like I say, the form of friendship, improving fitness and mental health, well-being. The tagline is really creating a pathway to change people's lives through football. And that's exactly what the boys do down at the Falkirk Football Fans and Training. So get involved if you want to and get along to see the Lava Cup at the stadium on the 25th of May. And as I say, for more details, check out the links in the bio below. Club news, well, we've won the league. First champions in the UK, I believe. I think it was a lower league. I think it was, I don't know if it's a lower league or been promoted, but we're certainly, I think, the first champions in the UK, which is amazing. And we've already got the championship t-shirts out at Greaves Sports. And you can get that at the Greaves Sports website. And actually, if you're looking to get one of this season's top, then why wouldn't you? Because, you know, 20% off at the moment on Greaves on the top. I've got the heritage, I've got the home. The fact that we won the championship in the away top, I'm very tempted to go and get it as well. What about you?
Do you know, it's the one of this year's shirts that I've not got as well yet. So, yeah, it's maybe worth a... obviously, we just sorted the retro shirt in the last couple of weeks as well. But do you know what? I know we've said this before, that every single penny and every single pound that's going in is potentially just that bit of extra difference that we can... And I don't mean one person, but if collectively we're all doing a wee bit, it potentially could be another signing next year if retail does a bit more as well.
Absolutely. And there's around the retro shirt releases, bits and extra bobs happening with Gordon Hall, isn't there?
Yeah, so I don't know if everyone who listens to this will be aware, but Gordon Hall, one of our ex-guest pundits, and I'm sure he'll be back on at some point as well, he does a brilliant website with loads of Bairns tees on it. You know, like all the what, John, you know, the t-shirts that have got like the sort of beer type logos, and he's made them like Falkirk and Brockville-esque. So yeah. He's got loads of t-shirts on the go just now. And however, he's just linked up with Ultra 76. They've just released it today, so we're recording Monday, the 1st of April. It's not an April Fool. It is genuinely a real T-shirt that he's selling on behalf of the Ultras, and it looks fantastic. It's got champions on it in that sort of Ultras style.
Nice.
Ultras 76 in the corner, and it just looks brilliant. So they're available on the Pints and Prints website, which is Gordon's baby, and we'll pop the link in the bio.
Yeah, no, I'll have to check it out. Shout out to Fitbar Tweets as well. I don't know if you saw the t-shirt that they put out as well.
The one with John McGlynn?
No, it's it, all the kind of stick men. Stick men. Yeah. I love all... I don't know if you follow Fitbar Tweets, and they do like a range of like really nice... They've done it. I think they did one for the Kennedy goal as well last season. but they're class as well. But obviously, everyone jumping on the bandwagon. The next stop is Invincible t-shirts, but we'll get into that in a bit as well. But yeah, and talking of April Fools, you just mentioned there, Ross, by the way, I've had nothing to do with the April Fools that was put on the Falkirk Daft Twitter today. That was all the work of... I woke up this morning and went, oh, what has he done? What is this? Try to say that we're having a friendly down at Blackpool. And come on, Ross, we could have gone better than that.
It's quite believable. There was a few people who actually, well, there was loads that said, listen, lads, come on, it's not happening. But there was a few who, in fact, I did get one message. Let me see if I've got it. It was on our a DM to our Facebook page. Where are we? It was Matty Allen. I just posted the screenshot of your pre-season post in our group chat, not realising the date. What a tit. More believable than a pre-season tour with Milan.
I mean, listen, if a pre-season of the, that would be class, wouldn't it?
It would be carnage.
Absolute carnage, but no, good try, Ross, but no, you tried your best. But yeah, we bumped into Graham Garrett Carbis, who was on the show last week from the commercial team, and bumped into him on the pitch at full time on Saturday, and we've got our picture. But Graham, he got lots of queries and sales off the back of last week's show. So thanks to everyone that reached out to Graham. As I say, there's probably Graham will sell you something. So if you've got any budget, you know, come that you've got maybe for your business to put into a bit of marketing, you're a Falkirk supporter, get in touch with Graham or Paddy or Graham Stewart in the commercial team. Especially, you know, now you can get snap up a top from or boots or whatever from the team that have won the championship. So it's going to be something that you want
just to... Just looking at that picture behind you, Callum Morrison's got one of those footballer sports vests on. Could they not sell these off worn?
I know, because I think that's all got all the computer stuff in it, Ross, as well. I think they're quite expensive, those things. But that's got that measures of all the stats and stuff like that. But yeah, get in touch with Graham, and he just says thanks to everyone that's got in touch with him. So thanks for you guys for doing that. Right then, let's get into talking about Saturday and the day that we had up in Montrose. And we're going to do it with our guest pundit. I don't think Els has been on this season, but she's one of our favourite pundits. She was on last season and joined us for our end of season review last year. It's Elsa Fantini.
Ali, 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 oh.
Oh, here we go.
Ali, 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 ali,
oh.
Falkirk FC. The Navy Blue Army.
Amazing. We've just said that at the start of the show. It's been stuck in our heads because every video I think we've seen Elsa of the Saturday, it's just keeps coming. It keeps coming in every video.
Brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. You can't actually put into words how much better it feels today compared to any other Sunday or Monday, does it? You know?
Yeah. I know. It feels great. It just, even we're recording on the Monday, obviously, but like you still got that buzz and you're still like, yes, thank God, it's just done. I'm just happy it's done now. You know, I can rest easy at night now.
Is that this is the biggest smile I've ever seen in your wee face, John. You're like a wee Eeyore some weeks. It's like your wee clouds above you and you're giving it, no, we're not going to do it. We're not going to do it. And here today, we've done it.
I know, it is an amazing feeling. Elsa, you didn't make it up to Montrose, did you?
No, unfortunately not. I had other commitments, let's just say, and unfortunately I couldn't make it. My pals were all there, so I'm gutted, absolutely gutted. But it was great to see it on the TV, and I'll be looking forward to seeing the team coming at home against the Rat next week. It'll be even better.
No, especially when he gives us the Guard of Honour. That'll be fantastic. So we went up, we and Ross, we started the day with a couple of cans on the train, Ross, jumped on at Larbert, and then we went all the way up to Montrose with a train full of Bairns fans.
It was brilliant, John, wasn't it? Loads of Bairns fans at Grahamston, loads got on at Larbert, and then even more at Stirling joined us for the party train on the way up.
It was a bit of a party train. When we got to Dundee here, or there was a bit of, we're really worried, because obviously Dunfermline were playing Arbroath, and that's where the change point is for Arbroath as well. We thought, there could be trouble ahead. So the mastermind in the corner said, protect the king at all costs. So he sent a couple of the young team out at the front, and then I was to back him up as well, and me and Big Gary were in front of Ross, who was to be protected, because we thought it was going to be a kickoff at Dundee, but... And he said, protect the king, was his actual word. So,
that's true. It has to happen. You need to be protected.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah. So I don't know what, in his chess game, I don't know what piece I was, Ross, but you know.
Prawn.
I was a pawn as well. Brilliant.
I knew you were going to say a pawn.
There we are. So, but no trouble. And we got off the train, and you went into the Picture House in Montrose. We met our guest pundit, our Montrose correspondent, Mark. My friend came and met us down there and was still giving it yaldy. And to the point that his other friend, Mark, who does the fanzine stuff with him, was filming the, you know how we're all, there was a lot of singing in the pub, and he was filming it all and sending it on to the Montrose players for ammunition against us.
Aye, that worked.
Worked really, really well for them. But yeah, no, in the Picture House, Ross, brilliant atmosphere.
It was. It was really busy with Bairns fans anyway. Elsa, our mutual friend, Mr. Alan Harkins, he had already been in there. He had tanned a bottle of wine by the time we got in there.
Well, so. I did see one video doing the rounds where Alan's kind of wandering around at the front of the crowd, just outside the pub, when it was at 4:45, 5 o'clock, when he realised we were champions, and he's looking around just saying, where am I? It's the only way to describe it. And I thought, is he going to make the game?
We lost Alan somewhere along the way. I don't know what happened to Alan, but we lost him somewhere along the way. Because he was lamping down the white wine when we were in the Picture House. And by the way, I have to say, we're sitting in there, we're like to the woman behind the bar, it's like, they wouldn't put Sky Sports Center on so we could see the Hamilton result coming through. So they had the rugby league on, we're like, what? So everyone's constantly, every 2 seconds, everyone's got fidgety hands and checking their phone and going, still 0-0, still 0-0, it's okay, it's still 0-0. And then, eventually, the last kind of 10 minutes, they put the Sky Sports Center on. And obviously, it was that way, it was like that. Oh, just waiting for the results to come in. So this is the Picture House, because I know people were up at the market bar up there. There was people in just the Park Hotel, I think, in Montrose as well. So it was Bairns all over the place. And then finally, you got this moment of just everyone watching the screen. But someone must have had it on their phone or an update on their phone, because at the other end of the bar, we're all watching the screen. And at the other end of the bar, you just heard this roar go up. And then you thought, we've done it. And then so you got this big massive roar from the pub, because you obviously knew it was done. And then you got that second roar when it came up on Sky Sports as well, and it was just I said it on last week, I wanted to do that, because I just think, and you're going back to the Eeyore thing, Elsa, I would have just been on tenderhooks, see, for that game. Because I do not think Montrose would have played the way they did, and I don't think we would have played the way we did on Saturday, because the handbrake was off on Saturday. The handbrake was.
You can see that they were playing with freedom, whereas a week before at home, it was like we were a bit nervous the first half hour, I thought, and the goal settled us down last week, so this week, totally different. You can just feel it.
See that feeling in the pub, though. We were saying this just before you came on, Elsa. I think it was brilliant, because we had two big moments on Saturday night. There was the moment in the pub and outside the pub, just as you talked about with the young team.
The Market Arms up in Montrose, it was just an absolute bounce. Everyone's just flooded out of the street, and we all kind of congregated in the square, and it was a march down to the game. And the video was it was amazing. The pyro was out, Falkirk songs getting blasted, and it was an amazing atmosphere. And sorry, Elsa, we're rubbing this in now.
Well, I get joy from you, and that's the thing. It's just great that it doesn't matter whether I was there or not. The collective experience is we made it, and we just soak it up. Yeah. It's that I was walking back to the car, because I was diving to get home for the 5:30 kickoff. And I had my phone, I've never put an alert on an Aki's match, let's be honest. But I had an alert on just to get the full-time score, and I had the open all mics on as well. And I actually felt I could cry walking along the street. I just never realised, I don't know if it was relief, happiness, it was all those things, but I could just cry.
Listen, it's understandable. And I think, I kind of speak for John, but there was moments where I was the same. You were hugging, I must have hugged about 100 people on Saturday. That was just
John, John, this is Ross Wayne, the new Care Bear. There you go.
I know. It was. You were just, you're bumping into friends. You're bumping into guys you play football with. A lot of the people listening to this podcast are just jumping on us and hugging. It was an amazing, amazing feeling walking down to that ground and walking into the ground as champions. I know a few people that were in the ground when we actually won it as well, and I think the team kind of got together in the middle and then went over to the supporters, before when they were warming up, and just you know, gave it that. But I think all the team kind of got together in the middle and just had a wee bit of a celebration themselves. And we'll see, we'll talk more about the team celebrations a bit later on. But you know, it was an amazing feeling, just like you say, doing it the way we did, and then going into the game the way we did it was unbelievable for a team. Now, but it was quite right that I think since we've been down in this league, we've played Montrose. I'm right in saying this is the team we've played the most in this league. Mm. And it was just, they've been a bogey team. Let's face it, Montrose have always been a hard game. But to go up there and absolutely pump them 7-1, which could have been going on 10-11, it was absolutely incredible. Because we, like you say, I think it's because the handbrake was off as well. I think it was just like, oh, we've done it, so let's just go out there and play with freedom. It was amazing, absolutely amazing.
Oh, totally. It was kind of strange when the first goal went in, and I'm sitting in the, I was running about the living room as well, you know, you can imagine what it was like, because I'm sitting there thinking, and I have a wee shout out to Montrose, because the manager came on to BBC Alba beforehand, and really classy, and his compliments to the team and to John, and everything he's done there, and I thought that was really lovely, you know. I just thought, to your point, Montrose have been that bogey team, there's no kind of great animosity between us and them, so the way that they kind of hosted us, I thought was fab.
I thought so, given the guard, that, I mean, obviously, shout out,
they gave
the guard of honour for the guys coming out as well. And I heard that as well, Elsa, and Stuart Petrie, for as much as a fifer, fair play to him and hats off. I heard him after the game, I listened to his interview after the game as well. He talked about how John and Paul put together the side that they have and was very, very, you know, complimentary of the guys.
But you can just see that, it's just like that thing about freedom, there was nothing to prove anymore. And I think for me it's that bit, you know, I think I put it on straight after the match, I put it on the, you know, the comments after the game. I can remember McGlynn saying a couple of weeks ago, we're going to get something to do, or whatever the words were. I did not expect it to be Montrose. And I say Sully, even 2-1, you could see they were dangerous. Hester was still dangerous and coming forward and obviously got his goal. I still thought they could have been in it, even at 3-1. But once that fourth goal went in, it was just, it could have been a cricket score. It was brilliant. I'm now greedy. I want us to stay unbeaten the rest of the season.
Well, that's the next step, isn't it? It really is. A couple of changes from the side. Yeats was back in for Bisland, and Ethan Ross came in for Calvin Miller, who dropped to the bench. As I say, he's been doing that over the last few weeks, like since the Hamilton game, I would say, he's been kind of rotating the squad around. Still disappointed that Captain Chaos didn't get a start, but we'll get on to the big man in a minute. But yeah, 2,500 bairns there as well, Ross, for a game that was on television. Good attendance to take up there.
It really, really was. Probably 2,300 of them had been in the pub before the game. So you could tell the atmosphere was absolutely electric. We just made it in for kickoff, didn't we, John?
So,
but we got a good position. We were
right in front of the camera gantry, but it was good.
Right behind the goals, below the camera gantry. We couldn't see much of the team coming out because of the pyro. Brilliant. I know you criticise it sometimes, but I thought it was fantastic on Saturday, seeing all the blue smoke and as the teams came out. I thought it was brilliant.
But couldn't you see the teams coming out? I was laughing. God's sake. But no, it was a game that deserved pyro.
Shout out to Todd Lang, who was as one of the ultras as we're walking to the game, because he said to me, Ross, I need to get a picture of you. And I was like, oh, cool. And then he handed me a pyro, and he's like, I can't like this here. And he went, no, it's fine, I just want you to get a photo. And then he sends me the photo as we're walking to the ground. So shout out to Todd. But no, the fans were, as we have been all season, just phenomenal. And that it must have been some sight for the players to come out. Because let's face it, every time we've been up to Montrose before, there's probably been, 500-600 Falkirk fans there max. So the fact that the stand was full, the terrace was full at three sides of the ground as well. Yeah, it must have been some sight. John, see, before we carry on, I'm conscious that Saturday, we obviously had a good drink yesterday, but we're still celebrating. And it's the podcast. So cheers, everybody. We'll be going with this.
It's that amber shitty juice. Jesus Christ, Ross. We're going to have to get you on the decent deal.
No, we're good.
He's on the tenants already. They're quite right.
I know.
I think the few of the players are still drinking as well from the
still out,
on
think,
social
yeah.
media, but we'll talk about that a bit. But yeah, great crowd got, and like it was just not tense. There was no tension. It was just like go out and express yourself. And then we scored within 4 minutes. Sean Mackey again with an assist, and he had two assists in this match as well from playing centre half. And I thought again, Sean was outstanding. I will be not surprised if we see a contract extension getting offered to Sean this week because he's been excellent covering in there for, you know, both Tom and Big Hendo. He was, you know, and that was him. And it was another a goal, you know, it was just a simple ball over the top. But again, McKeever gets onto it, latches onto it, keeper comes to meet it and he just pokes it past. And it was, you know, for a guy, I wanted to see Ross, and he's not going to get his 30 goals, I don't think now, Mr. Wayne.
Well,
but
he's on 16 in all competitions, John. Can he get 14 in the last five games? I don't know. I thought
we
should
we'll wait and see. It'll be some effort if he does, but it was great to see Big Ross getting a goal. You know, he's only had one in this calendar year, so that'll do his confidence a world of good.
I agree. I think for me, if I think back to that Hamilton game where he absolutely bossed it, just his whole pulled up play, everything. And off the since then, he's been a wee bit off the boil, but he came back again, and I was really pleased for the lad. But you know, you're talking about Sean Mackey there. I didn't think he would please me as much as he did last week with the cross turn in the middle of the park at home, and I thought that's it. My season's done. I'm okay. You know, Sean Mackey's done this because you always get that moment where I go, what's he going to do next? But I don't know whether it's players like him, and there's a few other players in the squad as well that did really well last season but couldn't kind of elevate. And this year, they've just brought it up a level. And it's not just one or two of them, they all have. I've been really impressed with him. He's screwed it up, and I thought he was really good in Saturday.
I think he's a better centre-back than he is a left-back. Is that fair to say?
I would agree with that. Do you remember at the beginning of last season when we went on a wee bit of a run, and you think it was him? Was it him and Cole were in the centre? Yeah. Two centre-backs before all the kind of injuries kind of made everything swap around, and I thought he was really good then. I'm not so fussed him out on the wing, I have to be honest. I prefer him at centre-half as well.
Yeah, I think it's the kind of player that you'd like to sign, though, because he does give you that cover at left-back if Leon's injured. Yeah. And he can give you that cover at centre-half as well. So I think it's the kind of, like Finn as well, and I'm really hoping that we'll see. I'm sure he was getting asked in the pub, Ross, about his contract situation on Saturday. You might be able to give us an exclusive on that. But
yeah, I had a catch-up with him. I actually spoke to, I don't know if I should say this. So I spoke to John first as a job of Glenn because drunkenly you're just like, all right, who's signed the next thing? And
I'm so glad I wasn't there. On your behalf, I'm just like sorry about this, John.
Yeah, listen, John McGlynn was as pissed as everybody else, didn't he?
Was he? Brilliant.
I asked him. There is a contract offer. Both of them said the same thing. There's a contract offer there. It's just not signed yet. So fingers crossed.
Please, God.
You know how much we love Finn, and he's loving it. Like, he's genuinely, that's what he said. He is loving his time at the club. So fingers crossed, whatever the issue is, hopefully it gets ironed out, because it would be brilliant for him to be a Falkirk player again for the next 2 or 3 years.
Yeah. I would agree. I just think, Ross, it was really funny. I was listening to Walking Down Hope Street podcast. Sorry, give them a wee mention. It was a Rory Loy episode that he was talking about. He wishes that in his younger years he'd taken the one that made him happy rather than the one that everybody thought he should. I think it was his talking about his move to Rangers. And, you know, hearing some of the rumours, it sounds like Finn's been watched by some of the big teams. I just hope he stays another season, even two, and just, you know, I think he'll cement his place in football for Falkirk if he does.
I think if moving up to the Championship as well, surely Scotland have got to start looking at Finn Yates as a bit of potential under-21. When was the last time we had a Scotland under-21 in the side as well? Mm. But if we move up into the Championship, surely the selectors and scouts have got to start looking at him. Because, you know what, he's a great prospect. He's a great young prospect as a player. And I'm no surprise there's clubs looking at him. But if he goes to, say, a St Johnstone Hearts, one of these, a Premiership club, you know, he's not going to get the game time, or he'll just get farmed out back on loan down to the Championship. So why not stick with us for another season, or two seasons or whatever, and then you'll get your move from there? Because I am pretty sure when we move up to the Championship, Scotland will start looking at him, because he'll be playing at that higher level, you know?
Mm. Totally agree. Yeah, totally agree, John.
Right, so we didn't have to. I mean, we had more chances, but it's the game after the goal. Morrison cutting down from the right, like the song goes. And the ball, the goalkeeper made a decent save. Ball brought to Spencer. Shout for handball. By the way, why was Sean Dillon playing right back? Can we just ask that question as well? I was just like, why is Sean Dillon? That is the stupidest idea I've ever seen. Sean Dillon playing right back.
All
It was mental, but so that was waved away, but we didn't again have to wait long for the goal. I thought this was the pick of the bunch in terms of the goal. I thought it was a brilliant, brilliant team move.
Totally. I think the bit for me was watching Ross coming up the side and the pace he put on, he just put the afterburners off, he went. But he lifted his head and Aidan was standing right in the penalty spot, hands at his feet, going, "Give me the ball."
Yeah,
And
it was a bit of a delay as well. Yeah, it was like,
he's just like, "Come on, come on, come on, just get the ball, get the boys in any space." And it's just the way it was, like a faint touch into the. It was just beautiful. It
it was
was
a
really
lovely
warm.
finish.
It really was. Nesbitt's got a lovely touch. He's a wee bit of a favourite of mine, I have to be honest, but I just think the guy is all heart, and I love him. He's just, he found the space, he got the ball, and he did what he needed to do. It was brilliant. Beautiful.
Dylan Tate obviously involved in that move as well, getting the ball.
That cross ball, right, it was just literally on the money. That boy's a Rolls Royce. He
Oh,
really is.
I didn't appreciate how good that ball was at the time. I must have looked away when I saw the ball in the air. But see, when you watch it back on Alba, which I must have done now about 18 times, the ball was, as you said, Elsa, it just literally, like, it was a postage stamp right on his toe. It really was. It was a perfect ball. But the move, some of the wee touches and stuff before it as well was.
It was a great team goal. Great team goal, and definitely the pick of the bunch from seven for me. Sam, we've talked about Sam long. We've talked about our keeper situation on this podcast throughout the season. Obviously great to see Nicky get in his deal. I don't think we mentioned that at the start of the show, but great to see Nicky signed on
Definitely.
for our season, which is great news. But Sam, 2-0. That save he made from the head from Webster was a great save as well. And that's something that Sam Long's very good at, I have to say. Great shot stopper, and it is that kind of Rangers situation where you keepers aren't having mu that much to do when we've been playing, but when they've been called upon, I mean, Sam, in terms of shot stopping, is really, really good,
His body position and everything for that. He just, I think for me, the bit was he didn't just save it. He found a way of getting it away so that one of our defenders could pick it up and clear the ball.
Aye.
And that for me is what you want your goalie to do. And it's probably for both of them as young keepers, the things that for the small margins we've seen, they've both made a few mistakes this season, but they've both equally made some phenomenal saves. And I think it's the thing that will just turn their game. For me, seeing Nicky signing on for 2 years is brilliant, but I cannot fault Long. I know I've heard a lot of folk talk saying, "Oh, it should be Long's no good enough," and I disagree. I think as a short stopper, he's been superb. And if you think about the run he went on, I think when Nicky was injured at the beginning of the season, Long did a really good job in terms of getting his points when we were grinding some of those results out, rather than maybe running as free flowing as we should have been. So for me, brilliant.
We'll be interested to see what happens come Saturday as well, because that's his month up, so to speak. So if we are going with what John McGlynn's saying, where they're going to be in for a month, it'll be Nicky that'll be in against Cove. So that'll then take us up to the end of the season pretty much, and then it'll be a toss of a coin to see who goes in the last game, I suspect. But yeah, for the Montrose chance, you can't really fault Sam for that. I mean, he rushed out, but I mean, we've lost. It's just, here's me sitting talking about, losing a goal. But there's been a couple of games where we lost the goal. The goal against Edinburgh was similar, where it was just a simple ball up across the top, and we've not dealt with it. And fair play. I think Kane Hester's a good player for Montrose, and he was onto it, and a good finish from him.
You couldn't fault him for that. I think you're absolutely right. I think a couple of goals we have lost, it's been balls over the top or those slide balls where somebody's run onto it. And it's maybe a part of the thing that if you look back to our defences over the last few seasons, we're quite high now. We sit much further forward. Even since last season, you can see we're about 10 yards further forward. And I don't know if that's just a kind of a risk that we're going to have to take to play the kind of football we do. It's disappointing. I want us always to have clean sheets, but ultimately you can't take it away from the boy who finished it really well.
I agree. I thought it was a really tidy finish. I didn't think it was gonna like impact the scoreline, if I'm being honest. Like, even though they got one, I didn't think, as you said, Sam's save was phenomenal and how he parried it away, not just like along the line, he parried it out of the 6 yard box as well. But the annoyance for me is we're so close to losing another sort of target, because I think we're only 2 goals conceded now away from what Dunfermline had conceded last year, if my maths is right. So we can only lose another 2 goals maximum in the next 5 games. So if the defenders are listening, which it felt like they did from some of the conversations I had on Saturday night, please just keep
is that a target to beat Dunfermline's goal? Because certainly we've scored more goals than Dunfermline did last year. I think in Scotland we've scored the most, we've got the highest points tallies, we're second in goals conceded. And then also I think, what was the other one, in terms of goal difference, I mean, we've got, in terms of looking around even the UK, when you look at Falkirk's record, you know, we're one of the best in the country. So it's great to see. But there you go. So we need to keep 2 more.
Did you say 5 clean sheets? It's not hard.
5 clean sheets. Let's do it.
5 clean sheets. Yeah. 5 clean sheets, and the jobs are good. And I'm sure they'll manage to do that. Fingers crossed. But I mean, they scored. But as Ross said, I don't feel at that point with just the buzz and the atmosphere, and we just went up the park and made it 3-1. Yes, you know, Ethan Ross doing what Ethan Ross does, just gliding. It's just so it's such a graceful footballer, Ethan Ross. Just gliding along that left wing, cutting in. You could see Callum Morrison shouting for it. But Ethan Ross, like, nah, I'm taking this one. And he got his first league goal for the club as well.
He did. He took it really well, John. Yeah. I totally agree. I think it's just, you know, you're talking about him being graceful, and we're talking about Tate there. And even thinking back to last season when we signed Stephen McGinn, he just was an absolute stalwart for us last season. I don't mean we'd even been anywhere close to where we were if it hadn't been for him before he got injured. But if you look at McGlynn's signing and his recruitment, he's got a certain, I don't know what the right term is, it's not template or identikit, but he's got a certain type of player in mind about how they play. And whether it's Raw, whether it's Ross, whether it's Calvin, whether it's Morrison's got a bit more edge to him, but you know, Tate as well, the beautiful players are great to watch.
Yeah.
I was really pleased for Ross. I was really glad he got his goal.
Yeah, I think again, it's a one that him and Tate are the two that, you know, I think if we get them in for the championship next season, that would be a massive boost. Those two probably are our right back. We're okay in right back because we've got Sam Keenan, is it Keenan, isn't it?
Keelan Adams is
coming in. So we're actually okay. So experience, I think we're all shouting out, experienced goalkeeper. And if we don't know what's happened with Stephen McGinn, if he is hanging up the boots, an experienced midfielder, Scott Arfield would be a good signing. But with those two on board, and like I say, an experienced goalkeeper, an experienced midfielder, if Stephen McGinn doesn't sign on for another season, I think that's what we're needing for next season. I'm sure there's more chat about that, but let's finish off this game. 3-1 half time, and then just wheels come off in the second half. Montrose just go to shit, and it was again Aidan Nesbitt comes out and an hour and assist from Sean Mackey. Great little ball.
It was a nice flick, wasn't it? It was a nice
ball.
Nosebleed being that far forward, I was a
wee
bit worried about him.
I know, it was brilliant. And Aidan Nesbitt, goalkeeper, in fairness, probably should have saved it, but we weren't complaining. This is the one goal that I don't know what I was looking at my phone or something, and I just, oh, we've just scored. I was like, oh, brilliant.
He hit it hard enough, though, so that was the thing, because obviously, you're right, it seemed to hit the bottom of the keeper's...
Because I think I turned away when I saw the goal, so I thought, oh, chance gone, but then just hear this cheer, and I'm like, oh, it went in.
Nesbitt's definitely hit it so hard that it's obviously, like, it's eventually got over the line. More than we deserved, it was all we deserved, because we had been relentless in the first half. It could have been 6 goals, never mind 3 at half time. So the fact that we came out, I'd love to know what the conversation was like at half time from the squad. Like, they probably just so hyper, let's just fucking go for this today, let's absolutely destroy this team. And that's exactly what we did.
I know they obviously took Dylan Tate off at half time as well. I guess because he was on a yellow card, they thought there's no point in taking any risk with him. And we've got a player like an experienced player like Stephen McGinn sitting on the bench. Why not? No point in
Yeah,
taking
it took
any
a
risk.
little bit of a knock as well, if you remember,
Yeah.
just before halftime. So it may not have made any difference. The booking might have been the real reason that he came off. But Dylan Tate, my God, that first half he was brilliant as well, wasn't
It
he?
was outstanding. Absolutely outstanding. And then pretty much from kickoff, it goes from 4-1. And I think this was it. That goes to 5-1. Callum Morrison, who will be gutted in a 7-1 game, he hasn't got on the score sheet. But the goalie palms it right into Big McKeever's path. Right place, right time, doing what a striker does. Great finish in off the post. And it always looks so much better when it goes in off the post. And the big man got his double, so delighted for him.
I thought it was a really clean strike the way he did it, and I think that's
Yeah.
for me the thing. Sometimes see Morrison, he's so far ahead of everybody else. You kind of think there'd been somebody there for the follow-up. How many goals have we scored where it's been a follow-up because somebody is the save, it's been off the post or something? And that for me again, it's just the opportunity taking it. I thought McKeever was great. It was really good to see him getting his second goal. And I do hope the lad, considering I don't think he's going to get 30, Ross. I'm sorry, I hate to say that to you, but I don't think he's going to
Listen,
get
can't they
30.
write him off? He's
And
16
I'm
already. 16 already across all comps. Four, five games left. 14. It's fine. We're playing Cove next week. We'll win 6-7-0 there, and then Accies will win 4-0, and then Kelty will win 7-0, and then Annan it'll be 8-0. So he's got everyone.
Oh, Ross, I love your optimism, beloved. I
It's not
really do.
optimism, Elsa. I'm pissed.
You're still pissed from Saturday, that's what it
I'm
is.
still drunk from
Keep
Saturday.
it topped
Oh,
up. That's the best way. Just keep it topped up for the rest
yeah,
of the season
that's
now.
what it's all about.
Exactly. But yeah, so McKeever gets his goal. And I think at this point, Ross actually turned to me after having a few and said, "What's the score?" I think this was at the point that Ross actually turned to me and said, "What's the score?"
I did. To be fair, I wasn't drunk at that point, but I just there was the goals and the atmosphere, and I was like, what's the score again? And then I think Ian Brown, who's a mutual pal, he was standing
Yeah, we were
beside me.
sat next to Ian and Paul at the game when we had to turn it. I'm glad that Ian reminded me of that because I was like, it's 5-1, you idiot. Like,
I forgot.
it was brilliant.
Must have
And
on
then.
that fifth one went in, John. I wonder, I did think to myself, this is going to be 10. I really did. It just, talking about relentless in the first half, but I actually thought when that went in, I thought, this is going to be
Yeah,
embarrassing.
I
So it's,
genuinely thought
I
it
didn't.
was.
I actually want that for them, believe it or not. I wanted us to harm them, but I didn't want them to be. But I was like, flipping it, it's going to be 10 or 12 or something. This is going to be unbelievable.
I know. And then I got my wish. The big man got on the park, 60 minutes. He makes a sub. Morrison off, Nesbitt off. Morrison, I don't think, was particularly happy that he was being subbed off because he thought I could get games. And I don't think Aidan was either because he was on a hat trick. So it was like, I don't think any of those two were particularly happy to get saved off. But anyway, the good news is Captain Kios, big Alfie himself, comes on and just, as usual, brilliant. Just brilliant to watch. First touch can be sublime or it can be an absolute tatty bash. He's just, oh, I love to watch him. Even when he goes and scores his goal, right? You watch the bounce it takes and then it takes a terrible bounce that he's not meant. It falls in front of him, but then at that point, he just glides in inside and smashes it into the side net. What, I love that guy. Love that guy. Big Alfie. Brilliant. It was great to see him. That was my happiest point of the day when Alfie came on, I think.
Ross, does Tam Lang know that John's now worried
Yeah,
about Alfie? It's a bit worrying.
he's dumping John.
I want that, but I've said in this podcast for a few weeks that everyone else seems to be getting their chance apart from Big Alfie. Get him on for the start. Put him up the middle.
Do you know, as much as he scored, and he like I thought the finish was like sublime. Everything else about his time on the pitch, it was chaotic. Like there was points where it would just hit off him, and you weren't sure where it was going. And then there was, see, having watched it back, because obviously we were shooting the opposite end to where we were standing. You saw some of the close control he had, and it was like it was almost going out for a shy. It was almost going out for a bad kick, but he was getting the corner. He was getting the crosses over, and he was doing really, really well. But it was chaotic as hell.
Absolutely love it. I'm here for it every time.
Plays with a smile on his face,
He
and
does.
when
He
he
does.
scored the goal, the cheese that he had was brilliant. It was great to see. He's out, it sounds like as well, you hear it from folk, he sounds like a lovely lad. So
Yeah.
I don't know. You just wonder whether or not is he the right kind of player for us next season? Will he get many opportunities? I don't know. Don't know the answer.
I think as an impact player, I think there's no better impact player in this division. And I go into the championship. I think when you bring Alfie Agyeman, you're going to get an impact some way or the other. Because I think just if you, I mean, if you're a left back or a right back, and you see Big Alfie coming up against you. I mean, we saw what happened when he was playing for Kelty against who was it? He was playing right back. Was it Brad McKay? I can't remember. Was it
That's my
Donaldson?
guy.
But and he absolutely those two goals that he scored in quick
Please
succession for
don't talk
Kelty.
about Brad McKay.
No,
All
don't.
right, sorry.
John, come on,
Sorry.
General.
Play the game. But
General.
I know it was like I just think an impact sub, and I'm glad you've got him for another season. Because I think I just love watching the boy play football. Just love watching football. So I'm hoping he starts against Cove on Saturday. So we'll wait and see. But great to see him get a goal. And he almost had a second as well with the header that came off the post as
Oh,
well.
that's
Oh.
true.
So there we go. But yeah, so Alfie got his goal, first goal since October as well. So it's great to see that. And then number seven comes along as well. And it was from another player who's playing for a contract. Ryan Shanley, good finish because again, I was like, is that in? It was one of those because it was the other end of the ground. Saying, is that in? Because again, it looked like the keeper had made an absolute arse of it. But when you watch it back, Shanley's done so well there because he's megged the boy and it's been a very, very cute finish.
I thought it was a brilliant goal, and I like this guy. There's something about him. Even the first time he came on as a sub at home, I just thought, oh, he's got that same. I don't know what it is. He's obviously he fits in the McGlynn, the McGlynn mould in terms of how he wants us to play. But he's just a bit different from McKeever, and I really like him. He works really hard. I thought his goal was excellent. And to your point. You saw it on Alba, and then you watched it on our highlights program. It looked different. I thought on Alba it looked like it had been a bit of a deflection off the defender's heel. But when you looked at it the other way, to your point, he made them, and it squirted right in at the near side. I think the goalie had no clue which way it was going. To be fair to him, so
I agree. Also, see when you watch the Falkirk TV highlights, it's just before he hits it as well. He
no.
knocks it ever so slightly with his
Right.
right foot to the side, and then hits it, and that was enough to sort of well make the player, but also the keeper was that little bit more incited as well in terms of how he was looking. So fantastic finish. I'm on the fence about whether he'll stay. I really am. I don't know why.
I'm kind of with you on that one, Ross, as well. Again, McKeever will be raging because he got subbed off, was on his hat trick as well. But yeah, I'm on the fence. I think we know what McKeever can do. We know what he offers the team. Do you put Shanley in for the last five matches and go, right, son, you're playing for a contract. Show us that you can do it here.
Yeah.
Let's see you do it in the championship as well.
See these guys who are out of contract, who've not had a contract offer yet. Well, listen, we're assuming he's not, because we don't know, do we? But on the basis that he's not got one yet, your Mackies, your Shanleys, even Stephen McGinn, we don't know what his situation is going to be. These guys have all got something to play for. That could just Dylan Tate wants to impress constantly. Ethan Ross wants to impress now for the rest of the season as
Yeah.
well. These guys are all really, really hungry. Just unleash them against all these teams who are playing for. I genuinely think some of these teams, like John McGlynn talked about a few weeks back, they're still, I think there's another doing or two between now and the end of the season. I really, really do.
Do you think even with the trophy in the bag now, Ross, do you think the like you say, these there'll be that momentum and that kind of drive from
I certainly think the next 2 weeks, John, are huge. And that might sound daft because we've got this wrapped up, right? But firstly, Saturday against Cove, right? There's no love lost between Paul Hartley and Falkirk in general, right? So there'll be an atmosphere there. There's the whole Paul Hartley thing. I think that'll take care of itself. We then go through to Ackies. We will not want to lose that game at Ackies. Ackies will not want to. For us to go there and lord it over them as well. There'll be another massive Falkirk crowd going through there. It's on BBC Alba again, I know, but there'll be another 1,500 to 2,000 Falkirk fans going through there that night. And it'll be like a home game again. So I just think the next 2 weeks, essentially, for a start, will take care of themselves.
So I mean, Shanley scores. McGinn's chance there, you'd love to have seen that go in. That would have been up there for one of the goals of the season as well. But Stephen McGinn, we're talking about this as well. I think Stephen still to score for us this season, and I think Leon McCann are the only two outfield players that have still to score for us this season.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. Looking at the goal stats, you're right. I think
McGinn more. Has McGinn got one then? He must have got one in the league. Did he get one in the League Cup?
No, I don't think he has, John, not yet. No, because we were sent in by a friend of the podcast, sent us in the sort of goals and assists across all clubs this year. And McGinn's name doesn't feature for a goal as yet, but it was bloody close on Saturday. That was like that, inches away.
I know. And then we finally get around to the final moment and what we were waiting for. In the bag, that full time whistle and pitch invasion. It was always going to happen.
Oh, funny though, on the telly, I was watching all these legs dangling over the hoardings behind the goal, and the 1.5 stewards that were there walking up and doing, could you put your legs back over? Aye, right. Like, that's going to happen. Do you know what I mean?
There was a young girl steward who must have been about 17, Elsa. She was standing in front of the ultras and she's just going, I'm not even going to try.
I know. I think a lot of the ultras were trying to get her phone number as well, actually, what I heard. But Ross goes to me, I'm not going over that wall. I'm going to go through the barrier. So then I was like, oh, for goodness sake, Grandpa. Had to walk him down to the bloody barrier to the gate to get him onto the pitch.
Nothing wrong with going over through the gate. Absolutely.
Let's light the wall. Come on. That's not a pitch invasion unless you light the wall.
It was really funny. Last week when we were home, we were doing it at home when you were away off in your stag do. And me and my pal Fiora were standing looking at the, because they had the advertising hoardings, and obviously you guys were on the advertising hoardings for the Challenge Cup on the Sunday. I mean, there's no freaking way I'm going to go over that. I said, I'm old and fat. I said, well, look, remember Gordon Strachan in the 86 World Cup in Mexico when he puts his leg on your father? That'd be me. I'd have been in the other side going, can somebody help?
So you're going to go for the gate as well at the end of the season then, when we make the pitch against Alo as well? Yeah. Because that's going to happen as well.
That will happen.
We've done our Montrose pitch invasion. It'll happen against Alo as well when we get the trophy as well. So, the pitch invasion was brilliant. It was just, like you say, that was that eruption of emotion. And as we said at the start of the phone podcast, it was just brilliant. People, you know, seeing fathers and sons together, seeing kids crying with emotion. That's grown men tearing up. It was great, and we met a few people in the park. I met Graham Carbers from the commercial team. One of our directors was on the park as well.
We won't name him,
but one of the directors, and you could see what it meant to him as well. I met my brother, you know, it was my brother, he was filming up in Aberdeen, but so he only got down for the second half. So, being there with your brother and just that big hug, and it was, like Ross said, I don't think I've hugged as many people in one day than I did at full time there. It was just brilliant. That outpouring of emotion, you know, Elsa, you would have been experiencing it in your living room, but it was such an outpour of just frustration, happiness. You know, it was brilliant.
If you could bottle it, you'd make a fortune. You really would. And as you say, John, just like even people you didn't know were just like, it was just brilliant. Just watching it as well, and I think for the younger fans as well, not just the young team, but every young fan or the guys and girls there with kids, that's a core memory right there. Just as we've got from Clydebank 94 and other days that in the 80s for those that were middle 80s who were on pitch invasions in there as well. And for me, I think the first one I remember was 1991, and I remember keep looking at my dad, can we go over, and he was like, you're not going over, and then I went over anyway. I think I must have got lifted over that day, because I wouldn't have got over the barrier at Brottville, and they wouldn't have had a gate at Brottville. But it was just brilliant seeing everybody's face, and fantastic.
I know, it was amazing, and you could see it from across the world. Jamie, our friend in Texas, we put up, if you check out our social medias, Jamie getting the result from the Hamilton game as well, on his tractor, in a ranch in Texas, and just like a champion, he's on top of the tractor. It was amazing. But a lot of people have been in touch with us, like from right across the world, just letting us know where they were celebrating. The Rab, who was in Pilbara in Australia, where a few people who got the saw the game in the stadium. There's a few people down south that were at restaurants when the result came on. Someone was on a flight over the Atlantic when they finally got the Wi-Fi to work. Disney World calls it, this is from Doogie, says Disney World calls itself the happiest place on earth. Definitely think that was Lynx Park. At the Star Hotel in Montrose, watching in Ontario, Canadian Soccer Sentinel was watching Buzz TV in Rosemont, Ontario when it came in Grays in Essex, Cumbria for Easter, just everyone across the world, you know, all the Bairns across the world just coming together in that moment, you know, just, like you say, we had that double dunt, I get the Hamilton result coming in, and then that, you know, final whistle getting blown, and 7-1. I mean, 7-1 is just a brilliant way of doing it against a team that have been a pain in our arse for the last few seasons as well. It was just a magical, magical day and a magical, magical moment. A couple of stats have come in as well. That was Ryan Shanley scored our 100th goal of the season, I believe. Yeah.
In all comps, yeah, 100. That seventh goal was our 100th goal. And see, when you look at the, obviously, as we just said, it's almost everybody in the squads played a part this year with the goals. It's just brilliant, absolutely phenomenal. And it looks like most of the players who have been scoring goals are already signed up for next year as well. So, let's keep that going too.
A resident stat, Donald, he was in the Spread Eagle restaurant near Blackburn for his wife's big birthday, so he couldn't get up to the game with his boys and four grandchildren. He's getting up for the Alloa game, actually. Donald has let us know that. But he said today's was Falkirk's biggest away win in 55 years when we beat Clyde Bank 7-0 on the 20th of September 1969, and only the third time we've scored seven goals away from home since the end of the war in 1946. The other time was against Stirling Lanark in April 1964. There you go. So only three times in 80 years we've scored seven goals in a match.
I remember the Airdrie one. Remember the 8, was it 8-0 or 8-1 against, at home, obviously, that was a home game against Airdrie back in the, was it the late 90s or early 90s?
Yeah, that was when that's when they'd walked all the way from Airdrie, hasn't it? Yeah.
That was
terrible. But I mean, you look at the goal scoring and the assist chart for, I mean, you see Morrison's 23, Keever's on 16, Miller's on 10, Nesbitt, Aguiman's on 7 with alongside Hendo. There's just goals right across. But Tom Lang's got 6 goals for the season as well, which is amazing. And obviously you've got Gary Goals, disappointed he didn't score coming off the bench on Saturday there. But there's goals right across the team, and it's just 100 goals in a season. It's pretty impressive, and we've got 5 games left to go. Can we do another 5 in one game, do you think, Ross?
I think 125 goals should be the target. And I know that sounds optimistic, and it could just be the tenants, but I genuinely think 25 goals. Let's try and do it in the next 5. I know that's a 5 goal average, by the
this
way.
This is another McKeever prediction, isn't it, from you?
Listen, he's still got time. You're writing the boy off. You're writing the boy off. I had a good chat with him on Saturday.
Oh, did you see? Thanks for backing me, Ross.
Oh, he had an ultra scarf tied round Mr. Miyagi at this point, so he'll not remember the conversation. But, listen, he's got
did goals. You say, do it for me, Ross. Do it. You've only got our 14 goals to go, so I can prove John wrong.
Exactly, it's hardly anything. We'll just go for it.
Aye, well done. I've got good pep talk, mate. Good pep talk. But once the pitch got cleared as well, the team got back out. We got spot up by this point, Ross, because I ended up stupidly getting my brother said, "Do you want to lift down the road?" And I said, "Aye, go on then," because I thought the train's going to be an absolute nightmare. And I was working on the Sunday. I thought, "Oh right, okay, I'll get a lift down the road." And I stupidly, in all my sensibility,
mistake ever.
Yep. Didn't go to behind the wall, so I'm stupid. But team came back out, and we got the moment I wanted to happen. John McGlynn doing the dance. I called it on this podcast last week, and I'm so happy it happened. Amazing. And Tom, obviously, and Hendo came out as well. Brilliant. My favourite picture of the whole weekend is Hendo with the big cigar. Tremendous. Absolutely amazing. And you know, the team were, you know, on top of people's shoulders. We met one of our pals in the park, Ross, can't remember his name. He had Ryan Shanley on top of his shoulders and managed to get cut. I was like, there was blood over him. I'm like, you're right, mate. It's like, I had Ryan Shanley on my shoulders.
That's yeah, it was Stevie Gibson. Yeah,
Stevie Gibson, yeah. That's who it was. Yeah. Stevie Gibson, aye. So Stevie, and I was like, oh Jesus! So it was what a time! And then you got that, and then let's talk about behind the wall, shall we? Because you piled back onto the train, Ross. What was the train like on the way back down?
So I had as you say, like everybody got split up from everyone. So I'm walking down to the, bearing in mind there was a dozen of us before the game together.
Yeah,
I was like walking solo, not myself, but there was a lot of the Burns fans walking to the station, and we get to the station, which is rammed, by the way, and I'm thinking, I bet you like two carriages turn up here. Mm-hmm. Thankfully, it was a much bigger train had departed Aberdeen, so we all piled on. However, the only seats literally where we could get was first class, so we just decided to go and sit in first class. Not that the conductor cared, if I'm being honest.
Yeah.
And the British Transport Police, bless them, they were on the train as well, and they're like, listen, you're not meant to be drinking, but listen, there's 400 of you drinking here, so we'll just let you off.
Oh, did you get a carry out on the way down to the train?
Oh, there was beers on the way home. Aye.
Oh, did you get you? Yeah.
Well, you've got to bear in mind Tesco and is it Aldi are right
aye. At
the station.
Yeah,
so they must have done a turn from the Burns fans. So yeah, good chat on the way back. And then just before we talk about behind the wall, Stirling train station again was just like fantastic. And fair play to the two boys who are taking turns doing the drumming from the ultras, because the sweat was pissing off them. They were drumming this so much because it was like 25 minutes gap between our train getting in and the next Falkirk Grahamston train. And for that 25 minutes, that Ali Ali O song was constant for 25 minutes. And they were all bouncing up and down, and the everybody, like all the sort of people just at the station for a night out, were absolutely loving it as well. So brilliant scenes. And then, yeah, the chat on the train was like, behind the wall. Everybody knew. And then we unfortunately, our train got in like 2 minutes after the bus had arrived with the players. So we missed them like actually coming into behind the wall. But when we got up the stairs, it was some sights I will never forget. Like, honestly, not just the players, the management, some of the boards, Jamie Swinney, everybody was just like on it, and the fans were there, and it was just an absolute belter of a night. I think the personal highlight for me was Dylan Tate starting the fuck you Aki's, we've only gone and won the league chant.
Dylan Tate started that, amazing.
And then Lawal was joining in. Paul Hartley's a wanker chat.
Super big Ola. I'm gutted. We did find out he can't actually play for us again this season. Like, I'm gutted about him. Imagine if we'd started him against for shits and giggles starting on Saturday. Amazing.
But it was honestly John Lutherkin. I know I've already told you this, but yeah. Mr. Tam Lang came up to me and he was like, which big guy? And I was like, he's away home. And he was like, gutted. He was absolutely gutted.
Oh, I'm gutted as well, man.
You told him he'd given his heart off to Big Galfie instead, though. So you might have said that. I can see you were trying to let Tam down gently. So he's away home.
Yeah, I should have said that. And but yeah, it was great. Do you know, what a unity between the players and the fans, though. And it's not just them, as I say. The rest of the club were there. The kit man, Chris Wigger, was there. The physios. The Falkirk TV guys, Jamie Swinney was there, John McGlynn and Paul Smith were getting as much attention as the players, if I'm being honest. Marshall, who's been an ex-pundit as well, he was with us, and him and John McGlynn have a small resemblance. So Marshall was very excited about getting his picture taken with John McGlynn, and then there was loads of folk coming up to him saying, you look like John McGlynn. So yeah, it was delighted with that, but yeah.
Do you know what was the amazing thing as well? John McGlynn smiling. Every picture of do you know what? Every picture I've seen him post-match with a bottle of champagne in his hand, doing the dance, a big smile on his face. That's what I love to see for John as well, because, I mean, again, for him, he had this question mark over him, right? And we've seen Aki supporters, only Aki said it on their podcast, a few supporters on Twitter, just saying that John McGlynn bottles it, you know, and he's went out and proved this season that he will not bottle it, because there's always been this question over John McGinn about bottling it. We saw, you know, we were questioning ourselves, I think, Ross, you know, against Airdrie last season in the playoff games, but he had a point to prove this season, and he's definitely proved it. And it was great to see him dancing for a start and just smiling and enjoying the moment, because you know how serious John is. We've had him on the podcast. You see him in the interviews. He's a very driven, very focused football man. So it was just great to see him wet and go. Was he steaming? What was he drinking?
Not in the beginning, and I'm glad that we had a good conversation before. I think he was on the Stella, I think. Before he, just as we got in there, they had only been there 5 minutes, and I'm glad he brought it up, because he was like, "Oh, I'll be coming back on the podcast before between now and the end of the season." I was like, "I didn't even ask you," and I saw, "Well, that'll be a cracker when we do that." But yeah, and then, as I say, it was about an hour and a half later when I started to quiz him, right, who's signing next, John?
Oh my God, you're such an embarrassment. I'm so glad I wasn't there for that. I avoided that. Who we said, oh, Jesus, Ross. Yeah. But no, it was great. And shout out to Cal Miller and Callum Morrison, who were drinking Mad Dog and Bucky as well on the park at Links Park as well.
Well, the story, right, so yeah, so the two of them were obviously on the sort of the super juice on the pitch. When we were in behind the wall, though, there was a moment of drama, because most of the players were on top of the tables, as was the punters as well. And then this table, which Calvin Miller and Callum Morrison were on,
oh my God,
just buckled, it just gave way. So everyone's like, you know what, you're a moment of, oh shit, hopefully they're all right. So Calvin Miller just sort of bounces up, he's fine. Callum slowly gets up and you're like, oh no, what's happened here? But and his hand was covered in blood, so he'd landed
on
the glass. Thankfully, though, he was whisked away to the gents by, I assume, one of the physios, maybe got a first aid kit from Big Brian Flynn. And he came out, he reappeared from the gents about 10 minutes later, just with one finger covered in a bandage, and then he had an ultra scarf. Round his head, his top was off. That might be the top that Behind the Wall found actually in the pub. I noticed they put that on social media earlier. And him and Calvin Miller were shirtless the rest of the night, as was Hendo, actually, for that matter. It was just
I did love the Calvin Miller and Behind the Wall just singing the songs video that I've seen. I think the boys went out yet on Sunday as well. I saw a couple of tweets. It looks like the team might have went out on Sunday as well.
Yeah, they did. Do you know what? I caught up with Nikki Hogarth's mum, Jen, who's been going, she listens to the podcast as well. She bumped into her at games. She was saying they were booked into Bongo's Bingo or something.
Oh, were they?
So I can imagine the carnage that then ensued in Glasgow thereafter.
Oh, God, I was out in Glasgow last night. I wish I'd known they were at Bongo's Bingo. I would have went along there.
There you go.
Brilliant, brilliant. Well, what a night. What time did you call it? Knock it on the head, Ross, with the clocks going forward as well?
Can't remember, mate, but I do remember at 23 watching Alba in the house. So I got in, having left Behind the Wall. I got a lift home. Thank you, Marshall. Got a lift home. And then I thought, it'll be a really good idea now to put Alba on. And I watched the full game. And then about 3 hours later, my alarm went off because I had to put Easter eggs out for the kids in the garden. So, yesterday was fun.
Yeah, I bet you. I know. But what a day. What an incredible time to be a Bear. And we've still got 5 games to go. And then, obviously, end of season party Behind the Wall on Friday, the 3rd of May. And then we've got the last game of the season again against Al on the 4th of May, which will be amazing.
Lots to look forward to. Lots to look forward to.
And we've still got to beat Hamilton again as well. So great. Usually at this point we give an interview from John McGinn, but I think John was too steaming because Falkirk TV have not put up an interview with John McGinn. I can understand in the chaos why that didn't happen. That's all we need to know. He did the dance. That is all we need to know. Well done, Hendo, for teaching him that. Superb. But we have your views on the day. Brian, owner and proprietor of Behind the Wall, is first in touch. It's fabulous day and what a season. Maybe 2 or 3 additions and we could have a real chance of back-to-back titles. How good would that be?
Absolutely, it would be as well, wouldn't it? Craig says the performance of champions, not even some Premiership teams would take 7 off Montrose at their place. 7 going on 10. What a score. What a day. What a season. What a team. relentless.
Absolutely love that. Ali, what a season. I think credit has to go to Jamie Swinney for steering the ship at the top and John McGinn on the field. Special mention to the Ultras, who probably helped us secure points by keeping that singing going.
100%. And as an add-on to that, it's certainly from the chat on Saturday night, and it could just have been the drink saying this from Callum Morrison, but see the backing he's had from the Ultras and the song that they sing for him and stuff. These are all little things that made the decision so easy for him to sign back on. It really was. Alan says, what a truly professional performance from the get-go. Sean Mackey, a standout on the left. Let's do the same on Saturday to his mob.
Callum says that performance was fantastic. Every single player was a standout. How'd you choose a man of the match? They deserve every bit of praise coming their way. Fingers crossed we can get Finn, Ethan Ross and Dylan Tate signed up for next season. Yep, love to see that happen.
Yeah, that would be amazing. Miss Chandler Bonbon, who's been on the podcast before as well. Our championship win brings a stark contrast to last year's depressing drive home from Airdrie. The league win give fans confidence in the club again from top to bottom. Hope these lads go invincible now and become legends. We are the champions.
Yeah, I mean, that is the goal now, isn't it? That is the goal, is just do the invincible, and not many teams can ever say that, so fingers crossed. Kevin says, going to nominate John Snake Hips McGuinn for the Strictly Come Dancing. What a mover he is.
He does watch Strictly. He said
he
that.
Does,
He did, that's true. Ian said, and I think I know which Ian this is, I thought I would end up a training match after winning the league before the game. However, we were absolutely relentless. Tremendous performance. And if you don't call the podcast this week, what's the score?
As Ian was standing next to us, yep.
After Ross's confused state when the fifth went in, then I'm not listening.
Yeah, fair play. And I think we're going to call this week's episode Champions, though. It has to be our Championies. And finally, Chris leaves us with just a perfect day. And it certainly was unbelievable, unbelievable. Right, Falkirk Daft, I don't know how we're going to do this. Falkirk Daft rated, let's go for it.
John, it would be very tough and very sad to pick just one player from Saturday. I can't do it. So I'm going to nominate the full team, the club.
Get that creosote off your arse.
No, I'm going, I can't separate them after that.
Well, I'm the same. I'm going to join him in the fence.
Oh, so get off the twoies.
I know who my dafty is, though.
All right, okay. Right, well, I'm going to take Aidan Nesbitt. Two goals, and I thought he was outstanding from start to finish. I thought he was really worth his two goals. So Aidan Nesbitt, and a honourable mention to Sean Mackey as well. Two assists and again looked outstanding at the back. So, but Aidan Nesbitt for me. Dafty,
you know what I'm going.
I know.
So it has to be the decision that you made at 7:30 to just go home. It's John McAnally.
Yeah, absolutely. And especially the fact that Tom Lang was there and was asking after me.
Asked after you as well. Not just the fact that he was there.
It could have been a beautiful moment. It could have been an absolute beautiful. But I'll have my time. I'll have my time. Don't you worry. So yeah, I'll willingly accept the Dafty of the week. So that's it. Brilliant. Well, listen, what a time to be a Bairn. Elsa, thank you so much for coming on and looking back.
Thanks for having me on again, boys.
With us. Really appreciate it. We'll see you at the party behind the wall.
I said this, unfortunately not. This is always the same when you buy tickets for a gig like 3 years in advance. So I'm out at a gig that night. I'm not going to be able to make it, I'm sorry. But I'll be.
What gig are you going to?
It's an 80s thing, so you probably can't remember, John. I'll not bore you because you're into really hip bands. So.
No, I don't tell you to go and hit me with it.
It's actually, it's Gary Davis from Radio 2. He's doing his 80s night at the Corn Exchange in Edinburgh.
There you go. Gary Davis is getting the shout over. Big sexy Tom and me and Ross. Right. Was it, Elsa? Thanks very much for coming.
Thank you very much, boys. Lovely to talk to you. Remember,
Ali, 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 Ali. And if you want to be a pundit and come on and sing a song just like Elsa's done today, please do that. Drop us a DM on Twitter, Facebook, or can email us at pundit@falkirkdaft.co.uk.
This is Falkirk Daft.
So after the highs of Saturday, we now go back to the stadium. And it's going to be a strange one, Ross, isn't it? First and foremost, though, Paul Hartley, I cannot wait for you to give us a guard of honour, sir. Do you think he'll do it? I think he's going to do it. He's got to do it.
I don't know if he'll do it, but I think the players will. I don't know if he'll personally do
what
it.
What is the protocol? Because obviously Montrose gave us a guard of honour. I think most teams now just give you a guard of honour, don't you? Every team, they probably will.
I'd be shocked if a team doesn't. I think the next two are obviously going to stick in the throats of Cove and Aki's if they
I
do don't, it.
I'm not sure if Aki's will... I think the Aki supporters will be so pissed off. I mean, it's a... I don't think they'll give us guard on. I mean, I'm just trying to think. Did we play Dunfermline after they? No, we didn't. We didn't play Dunfermline after they won.
They won it a fortnight after our last game.
Yeah,
with them. So thankfully that wasn't a scenario that we had to think about. Do you know, it's different with derbies though, and like us and Aki's, as much as it's a grudge match, it's not a derby or anything. Yeah. Like I don't think Rangers and Celtic or Hibs and Hearts would give each other one. But we'll see. We'll see. It's John Rankin's decision. I think it tends to be that, like on Saturday, and fair play to, and as much as we have given him plenty of stick for being a fifer over the years, fair play to Stuart Petrie. I did, like Elsa mentioned, I watched his interview that he gave before the match, and he was obviously very complimentary to John McGlynn and the team and what we've achieved this year. I think it might be the manager's decision. So, that'll be touch and go whether they do it. And another shout out to Montrose, because I hear from when Jamie Swinney was talking to us on Saturday, the Montrose board were brilliant after the game as well, like bringing out bottles of champagne and stuff like that as a cut.
It's a nice touch. You know, we spoke to our friend Mark in the pub before it as well, and we had a good laugh. I mean, obviously there was a bit of banter and stuff like that, but it was just good. It was just a really nice day out. But Cove come this weekend. They are obviously in amongst it between Alloa, Montrose and Cove. It's going to be one of those two out of those three for the playoff place. Montrose currently out of that thanks to the pumping they took off us, because that's taking their goal difference down to zero now. Well, Cove Rangers, they're level points with two. Montrose will be hoping we can do a job for them come Saturday. Do you think we will?
I think we'll stay undefeated. I don't want to say we're going to, like, I know I was joking earlier about smashing everybody by a ton of goals. I don't think it'll work out like that, but I think we will remain unbeaten. I think there's a desire and a hunger amongst the squad, and as you said, we've got all these players who are fighting for a contract as well, so they want to finish the season on a high. For Saturday though, I would absolutely love a big win over Paul Hartley again.
I mean, we certainly did. The last time Cove were down, we certainly gave them a bit of a hiding in a game which arguably set us on our way. You know, when we went through that period where we were like Saturday, Tuesday, that really gave us a boost at that time to get such a comfortable win over them. Roman Burrow will be desperate to get a goal against us as well. And he's in a fight with Callum Morrison to become the SPFL top scorer as well. So he'll be eager. I mean, across the park, you know, we know the influence of Fraser Fivey, Mitch Meganson as well, on that Cove team. But it's an experienced team, and when you look out the three teams that are fighting for those playoff places, Cove have got to be in with a shout just because of their experience, I think.
Well, they have, and they are, like, they're in that position now. If I had a preference, I would prefer Cove to miss out. I'm no love for Alloa or Montrose, if I'm being honest personally, but my hatred for Hartley is enough, if I'm being honest. So I hope they stuff them on Saturday. I don't know who Montrose are playing, but I hope they get a win.
They're away to Edinburgh on Saturday.
Right, so there's a good chance Montrose are going to get 3 points on Saturday. I genuinely hope there'll be another big home crowd there on Saturday to welcome the boys. I think it'll be another really good crowd, really good atmosphere. And then that'll set up the trip to Hamilton next week.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, we've said all along, the target on the back is now to be the first team to beat Falkirk in the league this season. That is the big target we have to deal with and we have to deal with for the next five games. So that's the worry. That's the worry. And we know at Cove, they've definitely got the firepower with Roman up top to cause us troubles. I think he's fit. He scored there at the weekend again for Cove. But
see, Romarin, though, we need to remember that he's only scored against us this year when we almost, like, he was gifted the opportunity, wasn't he? For that first away game of the season. And we've marshalled him very well since. And I don't want to harp back and moan about players, but he was up against Brad Mackay, and he knew how to play against Brad Mackay in that first game. We've schooled him in every other game.
We've found that Tom Lang's not going to play in our kick of football again. But Hendo, do you think there's a chance of him making it back for Saturday?
You never know. It would be good. Will he start because Mackie's been doing so well? I don't know.
Do you put him in midfield just for the physicality side of things?
I would keep Tate and Spencer there, if I'm being really honest. It's whether McGlynn wants to mix up the team a little bit now that it is done and dusted. I don't know if he will. We've already seen, though, that when he makes changes to just the team, it doesn't really make any difference. We still look so strong going forward. And he has mixed it up in recent weeks, hasn't he? And it's still worked out absolutely fine. So do
you see any of the players that maybe came off the bench on Saturday getting a start? Thinking Ryan Shanley
could get a start.
Alfie maybe
get a start.
Got his goal.
I genuinely think they'll need to have a chat and a sense check with the players come Thursday, because if I've been on the sauce for about 4 days, it'll depend who comes back fresh on Thursday. Which is their next day back at the stadium. So yeah, listen, it's Cove will probably think they're in with a good chance this weekend because it's done. And because the Falkirk players will have had an extra few days off and stuff, blah, blah, blah. I just don't think that'll make any difference. I think we'll be too strong for Cove. And I think we'll be too strong for the other teams that we're going to face between now and 4th of May as well.
Yeah, well, fingers crossed. What are you predicting then for the score on Saturday?
I'm going to go 3-1.
3-1. I think I'll go 3-1 as well. I think I'll match your scoreline. Remember, it's a 5:30 kickoff, so it's going to be another one of those boozy days where everyone's going to turn up at the stadium steaming again, and I imagine there'll be a lot of singing. And obviously, we get to play. Do you think we'll play We Are the Champions over the speaker between now and every game for the end of the season, or do you think they'll just leave it to that when we lift the title?
I don't know. I wouldn't mind that.
That's great.
Why not? Let's enjoy ourselves. Do you know what I mean? How often exactly does this happen? So, yeah, let's just do it.
Absolutely. Okay, we'll see you down at the stadium this Saturday, 5:30 kickoff.
This is Falkirk Daft.
And that, my friends, is just about it from Falkirk Daft. Oh, do you know who we've not checked in with?
Mr. Denon
Lewis. Absolutely, he's been back in touch. A few people said, oh, that Denon Lewis patter's woeful. I think it's really funny, so I'm going to read it out. A few people have come up to me and said, what's with the Denon Lewis thing? I said, it's Denon. He's got in touch. So here we go. It's from Denon Lewis. He says, hi guys, another restful weekend for me, and the fan unrest at Woking is starting to look a bit ugly for Dopey Doyle. After passing a breathalyzer on drugs test, I was finally allowed to take my place in the Juicens family stand for Friday night's home defeat to East Lee. The camel hair coat lady was giving me daggers, so I sat as far from her as possible in order to avoid any unnecessary confrontation. What is it with people and their nonsensical grudges, huh? It was nearly 2 weeks ago, for God's sake, and I believe the dry cleaning bill was only just a little bit over 200 quid. Let's go for it, Mrs. Rupert. Let it go, Mrs. Rupert. Let it go. The fans at Woking are understanding we want me back in the team, and before the end of the game, the Juicens family ultras were pointing at me, chatting, Dennis Lewis, Denon Lewis, you're our banker, Denon Lewis, you're our banker. I think that's what they were trying, because they obviously saw me as a banker in terms of getting them goals. My Montrose friend Mark wants to warn you and your listeners of the dangers of not using fresh mushrooms for your match day soup. He's back to his magic mushy soup here, Denon. He had picked some mushrooms freshly from his garden just before appearing on your show last week, and a few of us part of his brunch that day. They were brilliant, and he couldn't wait to tell you about the Cafu-like genius of Ryan Williamson and how it would be almost certain that he'd walk through the tame Falkirk midfield before hitting a 90th minute screamer to end your lucky sequence of results. By the way, I was gutted that Ryan Williamson didn't get on Saturday.
That would have been nice.
Was gutted he didn't get on. I bet he would have got a massive cheer for the kid. It would have been quite funny to see. He would have got a massive cheer, and every time he touched the ball, I bet everyone would have cheered as well. But anyway, it says, however, after 5 days in the fridge, the mushrooms had obviously went off a bit, and poor Mark had a very bad match day experience. Firstly, he imagined that Cafu Williamson wasn't in the starting lineup and didn't even come on as a sub. Then his hallucinations got the worse and worse and totally ruined his enjoyment of the 90th minute Montrose winner. By this time, his addled brain was ridiculously imagining a 7-1 humiliation for the mighty Gable Endies. Bizarrely, he then imagined that he was holding an inflatable trophy and was being held aloft above a sea of celebrating Bairns fans dancing on the hallowed Lynx Park surface. Mark then found himself floating above Stuart Petrie at the after-match press conference. Stuart was singing the praises of the famous Hamilton Accies, letting everyone know that it's his opinion that they are a club with too big a fan base, watching a team so far ahead of the rest of the division, and it was always inevitable they were going to win the league before the clocks changed. Hurrah for the Accies were his closing words. Mark from Montrose wants to emphasise to you all, please do not keep mushrooms in your fridge for 5 days, always pick them fresh. He doesn't want anyone else to have to go through what he did. So that's it from Dennis Lewis this week, everyone. Five more bits from Dennis Lewis as the season goes as well. So thanks, Dennis, for getting in touch. We'll hopefully see you, fingers crossed, you get a game against Woking for Woking this week. But that is it for this week's Falkirk Daft, and Falkirk Daft, where we can finally say we are champions. Thank God for that. So thanks very much for listening. Thanks to, like I say, everyone we met on Saturday at the game, and who are enjoying the podcast. We really appreciate it, because without you guys listening or watching us, we wouldn't have a podcast. So thank you so much for doing that. You can review us if you enjoy it, Apple, Spotify, it helps with the algorithm, I don't know. And you can follow us on Twitter, Facebook and Instagram at Falkirk Daft. Subscribe, like and subscribe, guys, like and subscribe to the YouTube channel. And you can get merch if you want to get kitted out before the end of the season for the final big party in May. Do that, merch.falkirkdaft.co.uk. We really should get some sort of champions invincible style t-shirt. I'll speak to the people.
That's a good idea.
See if I can make that happen. And thanks obviously to the Lava Cup and the Falkirk football fans in training. Lava Cup happening Saturday 25th of May at the stadium. All the money raised, go to Strathcairn Hospice and FDAMH. All the details, and including how you want to get involved with the Falkirk football fans in training, are in the links below, so get that stuck in. Right then, Cove next. It's done, we're champions, loving life. Ross has got a can of Terrence, always good in the world, and let's be invincible now.
That's it, that's the plan, buddy. Mourn the Bairns, etc., etc., expect unexpected.